Okay. Oh, we're loud. Okay, I'll begin by praying. Father, I just ask for your blessing tonight as I deliver your word, and ask, Lord, that you would help me to speak in clarity and to deliver your word, that we would understand it and hear it and take it on board. I ask you, Lord, to bless me, and Lord, just to help us to have ears to hear what it is that you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sounding pretty good, actually. Okay, this week, I don't know what it is about my family. I think there's a mini baby boom going on in my family. And this week we've had another new addition. We've had so many new additions. And into our wider family, Ruth's brother tonight, or the last few days, his wife Michelle gave birth to a baby boy called Dean. And the news of this baby has been, it just seems like forever. Whenever you hear about the baby coming at the start, you think, right, okay. 9 months, it just seems to go on and on and on and on, and then it arrives. Baby's doing well, mummy's doing well, you know, all the lovely things you say. The expectation, though, for the mother and the father, the expectation for the grandparents and everybody waiting to see this wonderful baby arriving can sometimes begin to get a bit boring until you get to the end and the excitement builds and all of a sudden, bam, baby arrives. And then you have the expectation about this little child that's arrived, this little bundle of joy, the great excitement that it's bringing, the expectation of what the child's going to aspire to be, what the parents' hopes are for that child. For some parents, they hope that their child might be prime minister, others the president, some the doctor or a scientist. In my house, I think it's a vet and an Olympian at the minute. Changes weekly. And then, of course, the important thing about whenever the child arrives, and Ruth and I had great difficulty with this, is choosing the child's name. And today is real. There always was important, especially in biblical times. The Old Testament, there was a lot of time put into the name of a child. And today, there's a lot of time was into choosing the names of the child. I think my second child, Rachel, was Lydia. And what's her second name? She had another name. She had two names in the space of a day, and then I could change to Rachel. My first child was called Hannah. And I was sort of in the car talking to him about the talk tonight, and we're in the car, and I was talking about the names and Dean's name and stuff, and Hannah goes, "What's my name mean?" And I said, "Your name means Grace." And Rachel goes, "Daddy, what's my name mean?" Sheep. But I didn't choose it because her name was Sheep. I chose it because she was one of the wives of Jacob. But she wasn't too enamored that her name was Sheep. And then, of course, the wee child Dean that we've just had, his name is Valley. So his mum and dad took a lot of time thinking about that. And then we have another wee niece who I went to see a few weeks ago in Liverpool. Lovely wee thing, absolutely. Babies are lovely, and they all look the same, but this one's really nice. Lovely wee thing, Zoe. And her name, Zoe, means life. And that's very important, and I'm going to try and bring this theme into our talk tonight. So as Dave said at the start, in the run-up to Christmas, we're looking at carols, and using these to show us the coming proclamation and birth of Jesus. Tonight I've got O Come Emmanuel, and I know Sandra wants to hear me singing it, because she heard me bellowing it out this morning so well that she turned around to see what the racket was at the back of the church, and it was me. So my wife always says when I'm singing, "Keith, sing a wee bit lower." The first verse of this song, O Come Emmanuel, says this: O come Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. This lovely carol, which I love, I just can't sing it very well, was written around the 12th century. It was translated from Latin to English by John Neely in 1851, so it's a couple hundred years old. It's known for its lovely melody and also its messianic themes. In other words, Jesus is shown throughout the song. The opening begins with the request for Emmanuel to come. I'm going to just be quoting from scriptures tonight. I'm not going to ask you to turn or flick through your Bibles. And the reference to Emmanuel is found in the book of Isaiah. I'm going to quote twice from Isaiah tonight. It's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And it says this, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call him Emmanuel." Now the name Emmanuel has a lot of importance and a real great importance to us, and it means God is with us. God is with us. I mean, what a wonderful name to be given, and to be given to us as believers tonight. The reference to ransom captive Israel is also found in Isaiah, both, like I said, both from Isaiah. And Isaiah 35, verse 10 says this, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Taddy this morning was speaking, and he was referring a bit in the middle of his talk about how Israel were captive. And they were captive, they were exiled twice from their land, and then they were under Roman oppression. And Israel have always sort of been either exiled or under oppression or fleeing for their lives. They were once slaves in Egypt, crying out to God because of the affliction and the oppression that they had endured under the hand of Pharaoh. If you remember, the children of Israel went down into Egypt and they stayed there, I think it was 400 odd years. And during that time, they were oppressed. They were made to do hard labor and hard work, and they were treated badly, and then they were basically became slaves. And they cried out to the Lord because of this slavery that they were in. And God raised up a man called Moses. Moses was the wee baby that was in the basket that went down the River Nile. Moses was raised up from the small baby to be a man that God would use to bring his oppressed people out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. So Moses, from an early day or from an early stage in the Bible, is seen as a type of savior, as a type of Messiah, as a foreshadow of the coming Messiah. Now the interesting thing about the deliverance from Egypt was that it was a physical restoration out of captivity. It wasn't anything other than that. They were brought out of the land physically under Moses. However, even though God heard Israel's cries for his salvation, Israel would once again fall back into the rejection of God and again would come back into captivity. And the reason for this was that Israel was toying with sin against a holy God. And so, time and time again, Israel fell into this state. But God always had a plan to rescue Israel. He always had a promise. And the promise was that his Messiah would come to set his people free. The promised Messiah would be called Emmanuel, God with us, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. What wonderful titles to be given to the Messiah who would come. And he would come to set God's people free from a form of slavery worse than that, the physical captivity. And he would pay a price, a great price, to pay back and to be paid for the purchase of his people. All mankind, every child born is born into sin. Not one of us born this way can avoid the sin we're born into. And not one of us can in any way pay our way out of the sin that we're in. There is nothing that we can do ourselves to purchase our own freedom. We can never, ever do that. The ransom that had to be paid, or the buyback price, and the Messiah would have to pay, would be at such a cost that only he could pay it. The ransom would be to offer up his life as a perfect sacrifice for us, for every one of us. That was the only ransom, the only price, the only sacrifice that would be accepted by God. So Isaiah 35:10, which I read earlier, says this, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come back to Zion with singing. With everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Here is the promise of a coming redemption for the people of Israel, foretold by the prophet Isaiah. The promise is not just for a physical restoration, but much more than this, it's for a spiritual restoration. The Messiah would come to set the captives free from much more than just physical slavery. His coming would be to open up the eyes to receive Jesus, or the Messiah, as their promised Savior and Redeemer. And whenever this happens, all sorrow shall flee the moment they recognize Jesus. Talking about Israel, there will come a day when all Israel, we are told, will fix their eyes upon Jesus, and they will mourn for him whom they had pierced. Zechariah tells us, as Isaiah tells us, there is a day coming when Israel as a nation will have their eyes upon Jesus. And I pray weekly that I will be on the planet Earth when that happens. I want to see Israel restored in a spiritual sense. So, in the song we have the Messiah. It talks about the Messiah coming through a lineage of King David. In other words, a family tree, if you want for a better word. And they would come through the lineage, he would come through the lineage of King David. It's declared in the song, "O come, O rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny." The rod refers to King David's father and the family line from which Messiah would come. This Messiah would be none other than God himself in the form of man. This is hard to get your head around if you're not a believer. That God himself would come to earth as a man in the form of man. And by coming man, he would be the Savior and the Redeemer. Jesus would be the Son of God. Jesus, God as man. And Jesus as Messiah. And by his death and his resurrection, he would be able to purchase back people born into the slavery of sin. There is only one way for us to be reconciled with God, and that is through the Son, Jesus. And becoming a man and living the perfect sinless life, Jesus alone could purchase and redeem mankind from sin. And then his government and his peace and his reign would go beyond even the borders of Israel and extend throughout the whole earth, extending to every man and woman on this earth. Everyone has the opportunity to come to Jesus. Everyone, we are told in the Bible, the gospel will be spread throughout the entire world, and no one will be without excuse. Referring back to the names then, I started with Zoe. I explained that Zoe meant life. We see in this song King David being used or alluded to in the song a few times. And they have real meaning and importance. The first thing I've already said is that Messiah would come through the lineage of David. So David's important for that matter, for that principal matter, that the Messiah would come through his lineage. And in effect, he would be a son of David. The second point is that David was a king. And when Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees in the New Testament, Jesus was always being challenged by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And when he was referred to in one instance as the son of David, Jesus in return challenges the Pharisees on this very point of his kingship, quoting from Psalm 110, which refers to him as Lord. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. If then David calls him Lord, how is he a son? The point is this, that Jesus will be both the son of David in the earthly lineage, as well as the Lord of David in his divinity or godliness. He is both son and king. And because of this, Jesus will be the true king who sits on the throne of David, and all other leaders and all other leaders of nations around this world will one day bow at his knee, will bow their knee to his throne. So primarily I've been looking at Israel, primarily been talking about Israel, but we are what are called the Gentile nations. Everyone who is not an Israelite, who lives in Israel, we are the Gentile nations. And we, the Gentile nations, also have the opportunity to hear of the Messiah and find salvation through faith in him. See, Moses and others were raised up by God at different times and different places to keep his promise to rescue Israel until the Messiah would come. The promised Messiah would come to save the people from their sins and would be the hope not just for Israel but the entire world. So Jesus is the hope of the world and he is the hope of the nations. And this wonderful song, I think we're going to sing it at the end, Steph? We're going to sing the song at the end? Yeah? At the end, when we sing the song, you'll hear these points, these truths that I'm about to read out. The Messiah will come to set Israel free. Israel will be returned to their land. A point about that is Israel is now in their land and that is fulfilled. They will rejoice when their Messiah appears. Jesus has already come once. He will return. Jesus alone can ransom Israel. Only Jesus can ransom Israel and you and I. And Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. And he was ransomed for many that he would set them free from sin and Satan's grip. And he is the only one who can sit on David's throne and rule the nations. One day Jesus will sit on the throne of David and rule. In all these statements we see the promised Messiah and his position as Lord and ruler of all. In his name then, Emmanuel, meaning God is with us, we have the fulfillment of the promise that he, Jesus, will redeem those who put their trust in him. He can only redeem you if you come to him, put your trust in him, put your faith in him, and believe in him. God's good news at this time of the year and all the year round is that through Jesus there is salvation from the slavery of sin and the oppression of Satan. The good news is because of Jesus there is hope for the world. There is hope for every person who puts their trust in him. Across the world, many people from every nation are coming to know Jesus. He is just not being declared in Bangor. He is being declared around this world, and many are putting their faith in him. And many Jews or Messianic Jews believe in Jesus now. And it's more and more and more. One day soon, the people of Israel as a nation will recognize Jesus as their Messiah and their Savior. And we too can sing the carol that we're going to sing at the end as a prayer for the people of Israel to recognize Jesus. That is every Christian's hope, that Israel also will be saved as a nation. They will open their eyes to see Jesus. The question tonight, if you're not a believer, is are you willing to recognize Jesus, accept him as your Lord and Savior and as your Redeemer? Are you prepared to accept him into your heart and into your life? Jesus is always willing to enter into your life, but will only do so when you ask him. At the very start of this talk, I looked at names very quickly and meanings of names, and I used the name Zoe, meaning life, a wonderful name, and kicked myself. I never thought of that one myself. But and David, you know, my brother-in-law is a Church of England minister, so he's always got like 110 things above me anyway. But he smiles, and I always say to him about Zoe. But the thing about Zoe is it means life. And John chapter 10, just to finish in this verse, tells us this promise that Jesus has for everyone. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus has promised to give you a life everlasting, but he's promised to give you an abundant life and a life that's worth living. If you put your trust in Jesus tonight, you will not be disappointed. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son for me and for every one of us who believed in him. You sent your Son, and at this time of year we recognize what a great gift that was and what a great price that he paid to ransom me from the grip of Satan and sin. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me personally and what you've done for every believer here tonight. And Lord, I just ask that many would come to know Jesus, would come to put their faith and their trust in him, and to have a life that's worth living, an abundant life, and an everlasting life to come. We We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.